Okay. So we're starting a new Aleph Amabet. Before we start, I want to just give background to the concept of Sfeikot. We're going to get into a case of Sfeikot. So we learned previously that if you have these 10 stores, you have 10 stores that sell meat, and one of them is non-kosher and the rest are kosher. So sometimes we would say you'd hold by Rove, and Rove would be Koveh, that, oh, most of the stores are kosher, we can assume it's kosher. But that's only, it depends on the situation. So if you went into a store, the stores are what we call Kavua. Okay? If you went into a store and you don't remember which store you bought it from, then that's considered Kol Kavua, Kemechzal Mechzadami, that there's a 50-50 chance that this meat is kosher. Or there's a 50-50 chance that the meat is not kosher. And therefore,
if there are 9 stores that are kosher and 1 that isn't, it's more than a 50-50 chance.
No, but because it's kavua, we say we don't know, did you go into the store that was kosher or did you go into the store that wasn't kosher? And it turns it into a 50-50 chance. That's the whole chiddush. That if we're talking about something that's not moving, okay, and that's the store, okay, so then we say, ko kavua ke mechtal mechtadame. Okay, since the store is kavua, then you can't follow the rove in that case. But if you have a piece of meat and you just don't remember which store you went into, then we go by Kol de Parish Meruba Parish. This came out of one of the stores. We don't know which one. We can assume that since 9 stores are kosher and 1 is not kosher, we can assume it came from a kosher store. So those are 2 concepts. We're actually not going to talk so much about the... I mean, well, we will. We'll talk about both. But it's really... It's Kol Kavua Kemechtal Mechtadame, which means if you have something that's not movable... Now, it's going to be a little tricky, because what does it mean? And today we're going to see that it doesn't move. What does it mean it doesn't move? Right here, the store... Okay, the store is stable. It doesn't move. But it's a little bit tricky what exactly doesn't move here in our case. And whether we can call that not moving or yes moving. Okay, so again, we're going to start with this case. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef is going to bring some situation. We're going to start asking questions about it, and ultimately, it's going to lead to our sugya. Okay, so at the beginning, you're not going to really see the connection. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'omer l'shlucho, okay, don't get horrified, say v'kadesh l'isha stam. Okay? Go marry me some woman. Okay? But he doesn't say what woman. Okay? He says, go marry me some woman. Asur bechol hanashim sheba olam. Why? What's the issue here? We don't know if any of these other women, right? He doesn't have an Eshet Ish problem. He can go marry somebody else, right? He can have 2 wives. But what's the issue? If he goes and marries someone else, so he is now potentially married to some woman, right? In other words, we don't know. Oh, so first of all, you have to say here, right? Chazaka shaliach oseh shlichuto. Okay? There's a chazaka, remember we've talked about chazaka, right? You can assume, there's a general working assumption that if you sent the shaliach to be mekadesh l'chaisha, then he did it. The fact that he never showed up and told you what woman he did, that's a separate problem, right? But the assumption is that if you sent him, then he must have done it. Now if he did it, what's the problem? V'kevandelo parish le halo yada heiniu kadesh le. And because he didn't tell him who he married for him, right, who he did the kiddushim with, right, it's just the engagement, but again, that's enough. Then he doesn't know who he's engaged to. Now, at this point, if he doesn't know who he's engaged to, what's the problem? Any other woman, exactly, will be a problem of arayot. Okay? If he goes and marries some other woman, could turn out to be the woman's mother, the woman's sister, okay? And then he'll be over on Issur d'Arayot of arayot. So therefore, he's stuck and he can no longer marry anybody. So, Eitivei Rish Lakish L'Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish says, wait a minute, Rabbi Yochanan, how could you say this statement? Because we have another case that's similar. Okay, this is a basic Sfeikot case, right? And what might you say in that case?
It's specific to marriage, which has a whole other set of conditions.
Ah, okay, so maybe it's specific to marriage, although we're going to compare it to another case and not think that it's specific to marriage. But it's basically Dina Sfeikot, right? Yeah. And what would you say? You know, either you follow Rove, right? Because Rove would say that most women are not going to be Isur Arayot to this woman, right? Minastam. Unless you live in a certain kind of community that everybody's related to everybody else, right? You can imagine maybe such a thing, but unlikely. But we might get into this Kol Kavua Kemechtal Mechtadame. In other words, the woman is Kvua. Okay, so that's why I said we're going to get into a little bit, what does it mean a woman is Kvua, right? She's She's not moving. She might be moving. Yeah, it's a little bit unclear here.
She's the same person.
But right, she's the same person. She came from a particular place. Okay, we're going to see. So now, Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, how could you say that we don't let this guy get married? Here's a case where we allow a similar type thing and we follow Rove. What's the case? Kain stuma. Okay, before we even move on, we have to explain what this means. A kain is a nest of birds, okay? But here it doesn't mean a typical nest of birds. It's milashon kinim that we talk about in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, again, with a kuf, not a kaf, not a lice. We talked about this before. What is it? It's a pair of birds, okay, that you would set aside for korban. Okay, I'll give you a whole bunch of korban out that you would use birds for. We had just saw it before, the nazir shenitma. In fact, we said, haretzi porim alai couldn't mean that because you call it a kain. Remember that? So a nazir shenitma, a yoledet that can't afford. Remember, there's all these cases where if you can't afford it, you can bring birds because they're cheaper. A mitzora who's an ani, a zav, a zavah, they can all bring this if they're poor. And then there's the korban olevi yored, which was a korban that you brought in a specific chataim, and you could do it olevi yored. It depended on, right, the price fluctuated depending on how wealthy you were. Okay, so you have this kain, stuma. Now, what does it mean, stuma? We're going to see it's the opposite of, I think they call it prusha, that you didn't specify which bird was for which korban. Usually it's an ola and a chatat. So you didn't specify which was for which. And now, parcha gozal achav mehem la'avir ha'olam. One of them flies away. O sheparcha leben chataot ha'metot. Okay, what are chataot ha'metot? Sounds very strange. This is cases, we've seen this before, where you set aside a korban, and then let's say you die before you bring the korban. So you set aside a bird to be used for a chatat, and then you died. So now what happens? The bird is already hekdesh, but it can't be used for anyone else's korban. So you have to leave it till it dies, basically. We saw this more with animals. We didn't see it with birds, where there's certain cases where an animal is designated, and then for whatever reason something happens, and you have to leave it to die. Okay, that's one example. It could be if you were... there's a few other examples.
Like a mum, or was that a slightly different...
So a mum, I don't think you have a mum by a bird.
Right.
I don't think there is such a thing. But we did see it by a mum. Yireh ad sheyisteev. That was the terminology there. Okay, so now let's say it got mixed up with these chataot hametot. And again, you don't know where your bird is, right? Which one is your bird and which is the chataot that are supposed to die. O shemet echad mehem, or one of the birds that you chose died. Yikach zug lasheni. Okay, you just have to take another bird, okay, for the other one. And then you know, you can bring the korban. V'ilu kein meforeshet ein lo takana. Okay, but if you have a kain where you specify this one for the ola and that one for the chatat, and then one flies away and you don't know which one, then you can't use any of them. There's nothing you can do because you don't know, was that the one you designated for the ola or was that the one you designated for the chatat? So only if you didn't designate it can you replace it. So now the Gemara is going to make some assumptions.
We saw one of these, and if he's pikeach, he shouldn't designate it until the very last minute for that reason.
Right, we did see that you should be smart enough not to designate them. Yafeh, thanks for reminding me about that, because then you could get yourself into trouble. V'ilu shar kinim ba'alma mitaknan. Right, what? Right, so if you had a kein meforeshet. Then, oh, I'm sorry, if you had a cane that wasn't meforeshet, right, it can be fixed. So one second. Right. What they're saying here is, what they're saying here is like this. What happens now? According to this, if you have a cane stuma and the bird flies away, right, then you're allowed to fix your korban, right? But what's the issue now? That bird might fly back into the birds that he's choosing. Now, let's say, then another time, it's somebody else, not even that guy. Somebody else, if that guy chose his own bird, we'd be in good shape. But that bird is now free, right? He flew off. He now is going to be mixed up with a whole bunch of birds that might get chosen again for a korban. And how could someone use a bird that was designated for someone else's korban? So what's the obvious assumption here? Right, we're going to follow the Rove and allow Rove to basically be koveh that, we can assume, based on the of Rove, that it's not his bird. Okay. Vama, even if it actually is, right? It doesn't matter if it is.
Okay.
Ah, so we're going to see. Okay. So again, the Gemara hasn't brought up the Lashon yet of Kavua or anything. So right now they're saying we have this case of the woman where a guy marries some random woman. He sends a shaliach to marry some random woman. We don't know who. We have to assume that anyone could be her karov, and therefore we can't let him marry her. But when it comes to the bird, and the bird flew off, when it ends up getting mixed up, we're not worried anymore. Anyone can bring a bird thing, and doesn't have to be worried that maybe there's a bird that someone designated as a korban. Vamai. So now they say, and why should that be the case? Lema kol chada v'chada dilma hainihu, right? Shouldn't you be saying, maybe each one could be that bird? So how could you do this? Amar le ka'amina ana. Now we're going to get to this kavua. Isha delo naida. Okay? Va'amartli ani isha delo naide. Va'amartli isha delo naide. Va'amartli ati sura denayid. And you're telling me that you're bringing me a case of something that's nayad, right? First of all, nayad, the perfect example is the bird, right? He's obviously moving all over the place, whereas a woman is kfu'a. Okay? She comes from a particular place and she's kfu'a. Maybe you'd say the woman case could be a case where it was naid. Like, for example, okay, what's the assumption that she's kfu'a? That you went to her house and you married her in her house, right? In her father's house. You got, you know, you did the kiddushin, the engagement there. But maybe you'd say it's naid, like imor b'shuka eshkach. Maybe he found her in the shuk, okay? And he married some random woman in the shuk. In which case, she'd be not kavua, because again, what does nayad mean? It doesn't have to mean you're on the move. It just means you're not in your kavua place, right? Like the meat was in the chatzer, and the woman is in the shuk. The kaddish hatam, and maybe he got engaged to her there. Hadra l'nichuta, gabekein mi hadra. The woman always goes back to her house eventually. In other words, it's true she might have found her outside, but she goes back. It's almost, right, like the meat will never go back to its store where it came from, right? It doesn't have legs, it doesn't walk, it doesn't move. But the woman will go back to her father's house. So again, that's why I said in the beginning, what exactly is kavua is a little up for debate. Right? Does kavua mean you're in your home place, you know, or does kavua mean that you're in general a kavua person, like a woman versus a bird? Right, we're a bird. And it's interesting. I wonder if it's really true that a bird won't come back to its original home.
Homing pigeon does.
Right, homing pigeons for sure do. So, you know, it's a good question. Right, I'm sure all sorts of birds do. Whether they, how much they knew about that, I don't know. And
not
you know,
that, but they go in the general population of birds and then get mixed up, and some other bird comes back. How do you know it's your bird? But right. I'm assuming that a woman, you would know.
Why? Yes, you don't know
exactly. There's an obvious difference between a woman and a bird. I think we
can also just ask her. Does she not know that she was betrothed?
No, the point is, does she not know that her relative was betrothed? She might not know that her relative was betrothed, because if some shaliach did it and they obviously never got married, so, you know, it could be the kiddushin happens and people don't really know about it. There was some case that I brought up in Kashir once, I think, where I found some tshuva about something that there was a woman who ended up with, I think it was in the cases that we talked about, Hafka'at Kiddushin, where you can be mafkia, uproot the marriage. And it's about this woman in Yemen who moved here and didn't know that her family had betrothed her to someone. And she was, you know, she was an Esh and Ish basically, and she was married to someone else here. And, you know, it was a huge problem. And in the end, they were mafkia the kiddushin based on certain things, or they suggested that maybe we should. I don't remember if they actually did it, but I think they might have in that case. Anyway.
Doesn't she have to agree to kiddushin?
So that's a good question. It could be someone agreed to it for her. But I guess, does she have to appoint the agent? Or no, she did it because she was a minor. She was a minor. And her father did it when she was a minor. That's why. Exactly.
The woman. And then it's the mother and the brother.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So the father did it without her knowing. And what's interesting there was a case where the grandmother said, yeah, I remember there was something, but nobody, they didn't take, you know, like they didn't absorb the reality of it. Like you might think, well, what do you mean you don't know, were you married or not? Were you engaged or not? Like it's seriously, but they just like didn't take it seriously. They didn't maybe understand really what the meaning of it was. And so there's an actual case where it happened. If you think like these cases are crazy, you know, it could really be.
It doesn't make it less crazy.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. So, therefore, we have a distinction between the two cases, and it's no longer a question because the isha is kavua, even if he finds her in the shuk, and the bird is nayad, and therefore the bird, we're going to follow rov, because it's called the parish, meruba parish. Anyone that comes from, you know, we assume it's the rov. But if it's kavua, like the woman, we can assume it's 50-50 chance, and therefore there's a, you know, there's a very good chance it could be her relative. So therefore, we can't follow rov. Amar Rava, umode Rabbi Yochanan biisha she'ein la lo bat velo bat bat velo bat ben velo aim velo aim aim velo achot. Okay, if she doesn't have any of the seven basic arayot, okay. Now they're not obviously talking about the Jerabanan arayot. Why is that? Because here it's a safek case and safek Jerabanan lekula. So we're only worried. Remember, we call those shniot. Saw that in Yevamot. So here, these are the basic arayot, okay, a daughter, a daughter's daughter, you know, this, the grand, you know, right, granddaughter from your daughter, granddaughter from your son, mother, grandmother, and sister. Ve'af alpi, now here's an interesting case. Af alpi shayta la'achot v'nitgarsha la'achar miken da'hi sharia. My time, huh? Okay, let's stop for 1 minute and then we'll keep reading. What happens here? Let's say she has a sister. What's the whole question? He wants to marry this woman and he checks out because he says, listen, I'm potentially married to someone and I can't marry any of her relatives. Do you have any relatives? So he goes through the list. She's got no relatives. Then he says, well, she says, well, I have a sister. But she was married at the time that you sent the shaliach. And as he says, on December 2002, I, you know, sent the shaliach. And she says, oh, well, in December 2002, my sister was married. In which case, now she happens to be divorced. But at that point, she was married. In which case, he clearly couldn't have married someone who was already married. Well, now we're going to discuss this a little bit, though. So the ka'amale, right, so at that hour, at that time, the ka'amale, he said to the shaliach, have an isiban. She was married legavre to a man. So kimash veshaliach, when he, now here's an assumption. When he sent his shaliach to do the shlichut, let's say he sends a shaliach in December of 2002. In January, she's already divorced. Now maybe he sends a shaliach to find someone. The shaliach finds someone in January. So in theory, he could have married her. So now we're going to say, kimash veshaliach bemilta dekaime kame.
Doesn't she have to wait 30 days?
She does have to wait 3 months, but let's say he wasn't careful about that. In other words, you could say, anyway, it could be the shaliach took him a year to find someone. You have no idea, right? So the point is, why is it the date that he sends the shaliach? It should be the date the shaliach actually marries her, which we don't really know at this point, because obviously we don't know the shaliach. If we had the shaliach, we'd be able to ask him lots of questions and know a lot more information. So kimash v'shaliach, there's an assumption that when you send your shaliach, you're sending your shaliach b'milta d'kaima kameh. You only are sending a shaliach to do something that you can technically do right now. And at that moment, you couldn't marry that woman. So that the assumption is, b'milta d'lo kaima kameh, and something that isn't an option for him to do, lo mashave shaliach. So he wasn't sending a shaliach to marry a woman who is married at that moment, even though maybe she'll be divorced in a month. So it goes by, the moment you send a shaliach, you can be... Again, it's not whether you can or can't. Here the assumption is, it's what did you intend? Again, we always go to that. You obviously intended him to find a single woman who was single at that point. Okay? Because we always say, shlucho shel adam kamoto. So he's doing something that you could potentially have done yourself. We'll see. We're going to get in more into this. So now we're going to finally get to our question. What does this have to do with our Mishnah? If you remember our Mishnah, we're going to quote it now. Tnan hareini nazir va'alai legaleach nazir. Remember that? I'm a Nazir, and I'm going to go do the korbanot of another Nazir. V'shama chaveru v'amar v'ani v'ala legaleach Nazir. Im hayu pikhin, if they were smart, what would they do? Migalchim ze et ze. They would basically do each the korbanot of the other. Can you figure out where this is going? V'im lav migalchim nazirim achirim. And if not, then they do other people's korbanot. So Bishlama Batra'a, the second guy, we understand how he can bring the korbanot to the first guy. Because Ika Kadma'a Kameh. The first guy was already become a Nazir before him. Ela Kadma'a. So therefore, when he accepted upon himself the korbanot of another Nazir, what are we assuming? He can do the korbanot of the Nazir who was already existing. But the kadma'am, when the first guy says, I'm a nazir and I want to take on the korbanot of another nazir, mi'ika batra akameh. The second guy hadn't yet become a nazir. So how could you say, I'm going to take upon myself korbanot of a nazir? The assumption would be that you're talking about a nazir that's a nazir at that moment. Okay, based on the case of the woman, we'd say that it all goes on the moment that you said it, right? That you intended to send the shaliach, you intended to take upon someone's nizirut. It has to be someone who was a nazir at the time. It's not a perfect comparison. But anyway, the Gemara is comparing it right now. So what do they say? Elahachi kamar, imish kachna dahavi nazir agache hachanami hachi ka'amrale. Okay, in other words, you could say that he's saying basically, if I find a nazir, right, if... One second. How would you... Right. In other words, what he's saying is, if I were to find a nazir when I'm ready to bring my korban out, then, you know, I'll find another nazir. So you could say that... Sorry, we should just read the first line. El hachi kamar. Imish kachna dehavi nazir agache. In which case, when his nazirut is up, right, there is some other nazir. Like, he's basically... You could say he's saying it at a later point. So if you're going to say that, though, then hachanami... Hachi kamarle, imishkacha demigarsha kaddishli. In other words, you could say the same thing, that if you find, when you go to find a woman and you happen to find someone who just got divorced, again, forget about the 3 months problem. Again, it could be she's been divorced for 3 months, let's say. So then you can marry her. Okay? So basically, in the end, right, well, not in the end, at this stage, what they're saying is, in theory, right, we're still left with a problem now with what he said. Because in theory, you could, just like you see with the Nazir, that with the Nazir, in the end, what's going on here? Why does the second case, why does the first guy work, that he can take Nazirut upon this, of the second guy? Because he doesn't mean I'm taking upon myself the Nazirut of someone who exists right now. He's saying, when I'm ready to fulfill my Nadir, I'll go find a Nazir, whoever's a Nazir. You send a Shaliach. When you're ready to find some woman, when you find, yeah, as long as she's not married at that moment, that's fine. So therefore, we're left with a question from our Mishnah. The only way to explain our with the basic way the Gemara works, I think I didn't read it so clearly in terms of the structure, so I want to review it now. The Gemara basically brought the case of the Nazir, and what it said is, the obvious assumption of this Mishnah is that this Mishnah means that you can basically take upon yourself something that you intend to fulfill at a later point, with the criterion of the later point. It doesn't have to go by that moment. Whereas that creates a problem with the woman case, because why can you marry some woman assuming that as long as she was divorced at the time you sent the shaliach, that would be okay?
And she was married at the time.
That she was married at the time, that it would be okay, even though she got divorced later. So now they're going to change their statement and say something a little different. Amre lo mishave inish shaliach ela b'milti dematze avid. Okay, first of all, just before we even start, one basic difference between the two cases, besides that there's many, but one basic difference is that in one case, it's the person himself takes it upon himself, and the other case, he sends a shaliach. So what they're going to answer is there's a different law when it comes to sending a shaliach. And the assumption here is that a person doesn't send a shaliach to do something that he himself can't do. So if at that moment when he sends the shaliach, he can't marry this woman, then the shaliach can't marry that woman either for him later on, even if the woman later can be married because she got divorced. So hashta b'milta de lo matze avid le, hashta lo mishave. Okay, and since in this case he couldn't do it for him, so therefore he wouldn't make him a shaliach. So now they're going to question that assumption. Okay, so the assumption we're questioning is that a person wouldn't send a shaliach to do something that he himself can't do. Okay, now you have to wait a little bit because we have to read a few things till we get to where the actual question is. Okay, this is the theme for today. Tashma, ha'omer la bitropos shelo, kol nedarim shetidur ishti, this we learned already in Nedarim. He sends someone who's an apitropos, right, like a... What do we call him? A guardian, custodian. He says to him, which is basically a shaliach, in other words, in this case for sure, right? Often an apitropos is someone who takes care of, like, the kids, you know, someone, a custodian for the children. This is just, he's sending a regular shaliach. Kol nedarim shetidur ishti. I guess you could say he's kind of calling him a custodian for his wife, right? He's kind of watching over his wife. He says, Kol nedarim shetidur ishti mikan ad sh'avo mimakom ploni hafer la. Any nedarim that my wife makes from now until I get back from wherever I'm going, you should cancel her nedarim. Behefer la. Okay, and then he cancels it. Yachol yuhumu farim. You might think these are actually canceled when the shaliach cancels the wife's nedarim. Talmud lomar. What do we learn? What do we learn in the pasuk? Isha yikimenu, isha yiferenu. Tibre Rabbi Yoshia. In the end, you can't hire a shaliach to cancel your nedarim. Why? Because it's gzeirat hakatuv. The pasuk says only the husband can do it. And therefore, you say this to the shaliach, go cancel my wife's vows while I'm gone, and he does it, it's not canceled. The vows aren't canceled because he can't do it for you. That's Rabbi Yoshia. He's the guy we're going to mainly focus on. Rabbi Yonatan omer, matzinu b'kol makom sheshlucho shel adam kemoto, and therefore you can do it. Okay? So, tam adam rachmani shayikimenu, okay, period. So now, what do you see here? Now, like I said, we're going to focus on Rabbi Yoshia, okay? It happens Rabbi Yonatan disagrees, and he says the shaliach can't do it, but Rabbi Yoshia says the shaliach can't be made for your nedarim. Now, why can't the shaliach be made for the nedarim of the woman? What's the reason given here in the Braita? Because of the pasuk. But were it not for a pasuk, in theory, he'd be able to. Everybody agrees with that? Okay, so hold that thought. Ta'amar da'amar rachmana ishayikimenu ve'ishayiferena. Halav haki, apotropos may fair. Okay, that's exactly what we said, right? The reason is because the pasuk said it. But if you didn't have the pasuk, then you'd be allowed to. V'ilu gabe dide. Now, what does that mean? The apotropos can cancel her nedarim while the husband's gone. Okay? Now, ilu gabe dide, but when it comes to the husband itself, Tanya ha'omer li'ishto, kol nedarim shetaduri mikam va'ad shavo mimakam ploni, yehu kayamin. Right? If he wants to say anything that you say from here on in until I get back are going to be good. If you take a neder, that's good. That, you know, they'll be mekuyam, and therefore I can never cancel them later. Lo amar klum. Okay? It's useless. Why is it meaningless? First of all, there was an assumption. Do you remember? We said there was an assumption that a man would never want to automatically be mekayim all of his wife's nedarim. The whole idea is that he wants to be able to check and see and make sure she doesn't get herself in some sticky situation that he doesn't want to get her out of. So therefore, it's not logical that he would say such a thing, and therefore he must not have meant it.
Also, can't you be mekayim something that doesn't exist yet?
Ah, right. Yafe. Thank you for reminding me that. Right. Yafe. That's the issue. You're right. There's two things, but yeah, it also has to do with that, which is that Ein adam makne davar shelo ba leolam. By the way, I forgot to mention that principle also is part of this thing about the whole thing about that a person can't send a shaliach to do something he can't do right now is for that reason also, because he can't acquire something that doesn't exist right now. And that woman at this point is married. She's not something he can acquire. So therefore, at the moment he makes the shaliach, he can't be kones something that doesn't exist. So here also you would say the same thing. What if you said, "Kol nidarim shetadurim mikam achav omim makom ploni"? Harehem mufarim, they're canceled. So maybe that would work, right? Because again, based on what I just said a minute ago, that people generally, first of all, there's no issue of makne davar shelo ba'olam. You're not trying to acquire something; you're trying to get rid of it. And number two, generally, right? We're better off erring, right? We can assume that you really meant to be canceling everything because you'd rather cancel, right? Like that's a more likely assumption. So Rabbi Lezer Omer Mufar, he says that works. The Chachamim Omerim, Eino Mufar. Chachamim say you can't cancel it. Okay, now we have to put a few things together. Kasal Kadatach, Ki Amar Rabbi Yoshia, Aliba de Rabbanan, De Amre Lomatse Mefer. By the way, Chachamim say Eino Mufar, why? Because he says, Yishayi Kimena Veyishayi Ferena, right? What can be Mikuyam can be Mufar. What can't be Mikuyam, so since you can't be Mekayim your Neder, then you also can't be Mefer the Neder. Okay, so he compares the two things in the Pasuk, and they have to apply in the same case. So now, let's go back to Rabbi Yoshia. What did he say? If you say to your Apitropus, right, cancel all my Nidarim, okay? What does he say? Yishai Kimenu Veyishai Perenu comes to teach you that you can't, right? But without that, you'd be able to, right? So now, we're going to assume that when Rabbi Yoshia said what he said it, Aliba Darabanan, Da'amre lo matze mefir, V'ilav da'amar rachmana. Okay, so we're assuming that what? Why did this guy send this apitropus to do it? Because he couldn't do it himself. Because why can't he do it himself? Because of this case we just said. That if you're going away, right, you can't say, based on Rabbanan, you can't be Mayfair. Because if you can't be Mekuyam, you can't be Mayfair. So therefore what? So you must have sent the Shaliach to do it. And then what do we say? The Shaliach can't do it because... Because of Gzeirat HaKatuv. But what was the assumption? V'ilav da'amar rachmani, Yishai kemenet v'yishai yifarena, apitropus havi mefer. Right, but what's the assumption? That if you didn't have the Gzeirat HaKatuv, technically speaking, halachically, right, forget about the pasuk. But if you didn't have the pasuk, the apitropus would be able to be mefer. What do you see here? It's exactly the opposite of what we said before. Because what are you seeing here? They're making a few assumptions. Okay, I want to make sure it's very clear. The assumption that Rabbi Yoshia holds by Chachamim is based on the fact that why else would you send an apitropos to do this? If you could just say it yourself before you leave. You're going away on a trip. You want to cancel your wife's nedarim while you're gone. So you have two options, right? Either you cancel them yourself, or you tell someone, while I'm away, go cancel my wife's nedarim, which is a safer bet. Just cancel them Meirosh right now, right? And then you're set. What if the guy forgets to cancel them while you're gone, right? And you, everyone knows. If you rely on other people, you don't know if you're necessarily going to get what you want or not. So the obvious would be, if you can cancel them yourself, well, cancel them yourself. So comes the Gemara, and they say very smartly, obviously there's this case where he's sending an apitropos. Why? Because he can't do it himself. What do you see? Exactly the opposite of what we said before. You can then send a shaliach to do something that you yourself can't do. Okay? Got it? Now they're going to basically reject the assumption that he must hold l'kachamim and think that the man, okay, the whole thing I just convinced you of, that why would he send an apitropos only because he can't do it himself? Now they're going to say, no, no, no. He actually can do it himself. And therefore, what are we going to say? That Rabbi Yoshia doesn't hold l'kachamim that he can't be made here. He holds like... Rabbi Eliezer, that you can be made for, and the husband could have been made for himself, but there's a different reason why he decides to send an apitropos. Okay, so now what do they say? Bidilma aliba Rabbi Eliezer, maybe it's holding like Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore it doesn't contradict everything we just said, that really he's sending a shaliach to do exactly something he could do himself. De'amar matze mefer, okay, because Rabbi Eliezer said you could be made, the husband could be made for. So then why would he bother sending a shaliach if he could do it himself? Right? He could just do it himself. Kasavar, we saw this guy also in Nedarim. Dilma mitchalina o retachna o mitridna. Maybe I'll be busy, I'll forget, I won't take care of it, right? Imagine you're going on a trip, everybody knows, it's very stressful for a trip, you have a million things. It's just easier to divvy up the things you have to do, and there's something you can give someone else to do, so you give someone else to do it. Okay? So therefore he doesn't, you know, that's why he sends the shaliach, even though he actually could have done it himself. Okay? The other thing, okay, this is a few things. It's not just that he's busy, it's also, I was trying to remember what the ratachna is. Ratachna is, this is actually a great line, that, Dilma mishtalina means maybe I'll forget. Okay, maybe I won't get to it. Ritachna is he'll get angry. There's anger. What's the anger here? He's worried that if he starts to say to her right before he's going away that, you know, I'm being made for all your nedarim till I get back, she might get angry at him. And he doesn't want to leave with, like, a bad taste in his mouth or in her mouth or, you know, or maybe, you know, so the truth is here they explain it differently. As aleha botasha'a. Why would he be angry at her
people
at that
often
moment?
Get angry before they separate.
But I think I saw an interpretation that it was the other way, her getting angry. You know, you didn't want to like, rile up any kind of situation. Okay, Mishnah, new Mishnah. We made reference to this Mishnah, but we didn't really get into it. Hare alai legaleach chatzi nazir. Okay, I'm going to take upon the korbanot of half a nazir. B'shama chaviro v'amar v'ani alai legalei chatzi nazir. And his friend says, and also I want to take on the responsibility of a chatzi nazir. Zem galeach nazir shalem v'zem galeach nazir shalem. Okay, Dibre Rabbi Meir, what does he say? There's no such thing as a chatzi nazir. Ein kaze davar. So basically, you each have to do a full thing. You obviously were taking upon yourself the whole thing. B'chachamim omrim, no, there is such a thing. Zem galeach chatzi nazir v'zem galeach chatzi nazir. What were they doing? They weren't saying, I'm going to be half a nazir. They were saying, I'm going to take responsibility for half of the korbanot. It's a financial thing. You could say, I'm going to give half the money toward this. No problem. Okay? Now, that's interesting. The Mishnah seems very simple, right? He says, chatzi nazir is this, and he says, chatzi, right? No such thing as chatzi nazir. The other guy says, there is such a thing. You know, you could be just meaning, I'm taking upon half the responsibilities of the finances. But Rava understands this Mishnah somewhat differently. So comes the Gemara and says, I'm a Rava. Hakol modin, they actually agree. Now we're going to see that they agree in most cases. It's a matter of semantics, exactly how you worded it. Hakol modin, kol hechad amar, chatzi korbanot nizir alai, chatzi korban maite. Everyone agrees that if you said, I'm bringing half the korbanot, remember, he didn't say I'm bringing half the korbanot. He said, a galea chatzi nazir, right? The galeach chatzi nazir. That's not the same as saying, I'm going to bring half the value of the korbanot. So if he said chatzi korbanot, he brings chatzi korbanot. See korban maite. Korbanot chatzi nazir alai. Let's say he says, the korbanot of a half nazir upon me. You can already see where this is going, right? Kule korban bayatuye. Everyone would agree, you'd have to bring the whole thing because there's no such thing as the korbanot of a half a nazir. Right? That's not saying half the korbanot of a nazir. That's saying the korbanot of a half nazir. My taima to halo eshkachan niziru lepalga. There's no such thing as a chatzi nazir. B'chi pliga b'lishna dematnitin pliga. Okay, but when they're machloket, is specifically the lashon of the Mishnah. Okay, so basically what's Rava doing, in other words? He's saying we're now in the focus of this machloket. This machloket is not any kind of nisuach of chatzi nazir. It depends how you said it. So the only case they're really arguing is the lashon of our Mishnah. Let's go back to the lashon of our Mishnah. Hare alai legalea chatzi nazir. So Rabbi Meir savar, kevan de amar hare alai, ichayev akula korban naziru. Since he said hare alai, he's accepting upon himself to take upon the korbanot of a whole nazir. Because again, there's no such thing, right? He says hare alai, akula korban naziru. The word chatzi nezirut are basically irrelevant, or really the word chatzi disappears. And what he's really doing is he's saying hare alai, and what's hare alai? There's no such thing as chatzi nazir, so it must be the whole. This matches, by the way, I think, it's like a similar logic anyway, of the opinion of if you say I'm only a nazir from yayin, right? There's no such thing, so you're basically, again, according to the opinion.
I'll be a nazir for a day or an hour.
Right, exactly. Like a nazir for a day. Exactly. The whole thing. V'rabbanan savre, neder upetach imohu. What does he say? Now, this is an interesting usage of neder upetach imohu, because it's not exactly like you're being shoel, okay? Because when we saw neder upetach imohu, what was it? He said, arei alai nazir, and then he said, mi basar. Right, which meant that as soon as he said basar, he was taking away the harei alai nazir. Here, the problematic word comes at the very end, the chatzi nazir. It comes even before you say the word nazir. So most of the mafreshim explain, it doesn't mean exactly neder upetach imohu. It means he was mifaresh what he meant while he was taking the neder upon himself. This goes back to what you were saying, Aviva, is tok kedei dibur, you can explain anything you want, right? You're still within the same amira. So what he's saying is, when you took the neder, I'm going to take upon myself, you're basically already explaining. When you say chatzi nazir, you're saying, I'm taking upon myself, yes, but I'm taking upon myself half the value. And then that makes sense because you're doing the neder upetach imo. Okay? One of the explanations here, which I just wanted to bring up, is that some people say that this is only when there's two people. Because when there's two people, right, the Mishnah was talking about two people. And when there's two people, you can assume that he says, oh, I'm with you, right? This is like you give a donation to the shul, right? I'll give half, you give half. Right? So they're matching. That's what's going on here. So they're basically together, they're saying, I'm going to give the other half. But so therefore, Chachamim, by the way, no matter how you explain it, are saying, you give half. It's not, Nedru Petach Imo doesn't mean it doesn't count at all. It means you pay half the value. So some people say it's only when there's two people that would be the case. And that if it was only one person, we'd make him pay, even Rabbanan would make him pay the whole thing. Okay? So if you're going to say that Rava narrowed the focus of the machloket according to the Mishnah, you can say that this it's the Mefarish, okay? It's one of the commentaries on Nedarim. The Mefarish is narrowing the focus of the Machloket even further. Because he's saying it's only in the case that it's not only the words like the Mishnah, which Rava said, but the particular case of the Mishnah where it was two people. Because then is the only case where it's clear that they're really saying half, and otherwise you can assume people just don't take upon half obligations, and it must be he meant the whole thing.